The best seat in the theater? That's the one easiest to get out of. Time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, FDA approved, and covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
720 WGN, John Landecker dropping in for a couple of hours. Until 10 tonight, 9 minutes after 8 o'clock, and got Tuna saying we're the baddest. We're the baddest team around. And they ought to know because they're members of that team. And that team includes Dan Hampton on not just a pro football Hall of Fame member, not just number 99, but also on base. How are you, Dan?
We're doing great tonight, John. I hope you're doing great. I really, that's kind of cool hearing that song on the bumper. You know, it's funny. The name of that song, we named it Baddest Team Alive.
Yeah.
And after, you know, Otis Wilson and Steve McMichael and I, we put a band together with some great musicians, and we played. And anyway, we were out one night in 2019, the 100-year anniversary of the NFL. They named the all-time greatest team, and it was, you know, the Chicago Bears, and you know, everybody congratulated us, and we appreciate all that. And you know, you say, wow, that's great. We're the greatest. And Otis, yeah, he goes, yeah, we were the baddest, you know.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
And it struck me, and I said, we got to write that song. And so anyway, that the baddest team alive is the name of that song.
And a great band, too, Chicago Six. That's still the name of the band, isn't it, Dan?
Yes, sir, it is. Yeah. As you know, our dear friend Steve McMichael,
right,
no longer with us. He passed last April. And Otis Wilson has had some health issues, and he hasn't been able to be a part of it. But got some great musicians real quick. Let me just throw it out. You know,
sure,
guys that have been around Chicago a long time, and you know, I call him Johnny Guitar, but his name is John McFarland. He's been with M&R Rush, a great Chicago band, for 50 years. He's a lead guitar player with another great guitarist named Jimmy Hood. He's got a band named Hoodwinked. And the two Kammerer brothers. Eddie is on keyboards, and he was with the Dancing Noodles. You remember long ago?
Oh, yeah. I sure do.
Yeah. Eddie and his younger brother, Matt. Matt is our drummer, and he's terrific as well. So, and you know what? We've been playing off and on for 15 years, and this weekend is kind of our end-of-summer wrap-up. And the last time we'll play this year, it's going to be there in Hickory Hills, and it's at the Prime Restaurant and in this outdoor festival. But what it's benefiting... There's three bands, the School of Rock, us, and then the Legends of Rock afterwards. But it's for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and everybody in the band has been big supporters of Make-A-Wish for a long time. My lovely bride, she's all excited about it. So that's this Saturday in Hickory Hills, and it's a Make-A-Wish event, and we're just tickled to death to be a part of it.
You bet. I think it goes from about 2 in the afternoon till 9 at night. That's $40 a person, including draft beer and entertainment, and the bands, of course. And that includes you, Dan, and I think the band sounds fantastic. I was listening to some of the music today. It really sounds tight, and all these various capabilities. It's just like, oh, yeah, he plays football, but he also plays bass. Speaking of football, oh, yeah, that. I certainly want to talk about the upcoming season and what you think about that and the current state of the Bears and if they've made any improvements or not. And also, I've never really talked to you about being in a movie, but I believe you're in the Hallmark movie, are you not?
Oh, so let me tell folks how this all came about.
You bet.
I was able to death to be a part of it with Holston Loveland, who is one of my favorite players on the football team. The long and short of it is, it's a love story, and it's based right here in Chicago with the Chicago Bears and the organization as kind of a backdrop. I think Devin Hester's in it, Cole Kmet, let's see, Peanut Tillman. There's a bunch of guys in it. And really what we're doing, John, it's cameos, right?
Right.
And I was texting my friends after they were, of course, ripping me about it. Oh, you're in a Hallmark movie. I said, and if my 45-second appearance doesn't garner a Grammy, I'm starting an investigation.
Yeah, Hallmark's been doing those movies. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, one of the scenes that Colston and I were in,
yeah,
it was a 92-degree day, and we had to wear coats there at the Daily Plaza, and, you know, filming was going on at noon, and they had everybody, all these extras in coats, and it was kind of like a Christmas, what do you call it, where everybody has tents and they sell Christmas knickknacks?
Kristallnacht or something like that. They have it done at the Daily Plaza, I think, every year.
Yeah, we were sipping sweat. I mean, it was so hot.
Hey, I bet you could find somebody to buy some from you. I got some Dan Hampton sweat. Can you buy some? Yeah, sure.
The people making the movie, they were great. And the actors, wonderful. And, you know, hey, I'm very lucky. I've been afforded these type of opportunities. And I appreciate, you know, Matt Simone with the Bears reaching out and allowing me to be a part of it. But nobody told me we're going to be filming on a 92-degree day with a coat on.
That's the way they make the movies, you know. They might have even had some fake snow, for all I know.
Oh, of course, yeah. There were big mounds of cotton all over the place. But, you know, Don, I got to tell you, what happened last year was almost a minor miracle. Pardon me. And as far as what happened with the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Think back. It's a brand new coach.
Yep.
A second-year quarterback that much was expected. And we start the season 0-2. And somehow we were able to kind of right the ship, get it to 2-2, and go through the bye week. But when we came out of the bye week, we saw a different team, a team that was a lot more focused and had an edge to it, and an edge that, the great Ed Obradovich and I, we have been basically beating the drum for a long time. If you want to be a good hitter in baseball, you got to hit. If you want to be a good football player, well, you got to play football. And, you know, last year, Ben Johnson played virtually nobody in the preseason. And everybody goes, why did they get off to a bad start? Well, I'm hoping we're not following that same path this year. But, you know, we saw a little bit of Caleb last week. Very, very few contributions by any name player, if you will.
Right. Yeah.
But all that being said, the team is a lot further down the track than it was a year ago. We know that. But the problem is, and I think all the Bear fans realize, hey, last year, hey, it was fun and, you know, you're stomping the grapes and then you get in the playoffs and drink a little wine. Well, guess what? We got the toughest schedule in football this year. And the great Obradovich, he told me the other day, Ham, do you know what their schedule was last year? The winning percentage? And I said, no. He said it was like 34%. Well, this year it's 55% on what the teams did last year. So I'm just saying, if you want to be a good football team, you better get ready because, you know, it's not long and we hit the ground running. And this second preseason game that we watched last weekend, you know, and I told Bob Surratt, it's an exhibition game and we didn't exhibit much of anything at all. We were 2 of 14 on third down. All the while, Cincinnati looked like world beaters going up and down the field on us. So, you know, I just hope everybody, especially those players, don't start acting or thinking, oh, we made the playoffs last year. We got this. That's the biggest mistake anybody could make.
You know, I've been seeing on social media, I watch it all the time, they've been rerunning clips from last year and Caleb doing his miracle last second throws into the end zone for touchdowns, running around, retreating from the line of scrimmage, I don't know, throwing the ball half the length of the field and into the end zone and making a complete pass and getting the touchdown and winning the game in the last seconds. You know, you can't do that on a regular basis. I mean, that was great for whatever games that happened last year, but that's not the way you're going to, I understand that you win football. And I've heard for decades, well, maybe not decades, let's say seasons, for a few seasons now, that, and I've heard you say it, I believe, that they you may have a great quarterback, but you've got to have a line up front that'll protect him and let him do his thing. Do you think that they've done that, that they're ready to do that this season?
Well, again, we're so much better off than we were a year ago.
Yeah.
But all that being said, we still got some issues. The left tackle position is still up in the air. They've been waiting to see if anybody wants to claim it.
Yeah.
Obviously, Braxton Jones was injured last year, and then we had a succession of other players come in. The one that I think is probably going to eventuate into the starter, probably by October, in my book, would be Ozzie Flipillo, who did a great job as a rookie, but he got hurt, and then now he's got a, you know, I was on that kind of a train, get hurt, and then the next year you're trying to come back and all that stuff. So we'll see what happens. But Braxton has probably got the inside track to it, but Theo Benedict may step in for a while, but I think Trapillo will be the guy. But all that being said, there's no such thing as, you know, a perfect football team. There's going to be certain positions, certain things that you have to camouflage. And Ben Johnson has basically put himself in the upper echelon of coaching after just 1 year. And the reason we all know that Sean McVay and all these guys, Andy Reid, they've got the pelts on the wall. But here's the one thing. You look what Ben Johnson did in Detroit. He not only salvaged the career of Jared Goff, but they were the number one offense 2 out of the 3 years he was the offensive coordinator. And then he came in and had the miracle redo of our offense, and we've got a lot of things we could improve on. And unfortunately, a lot of those games, as you pointed out, hey, you think you're going to win 7 games in the final 2 minutes?
Yeah.
I got some swamp in Florida I want to sell you.
But yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, there's a lot of reasons to believe this team could be the best team we've seen in the last 20, 25 years.
Whoa.
And if that comes to fruition, hey, we're going to be on the front row beating the drums for them. But, again, and a lot of things have got to kind of fall into position for that to happen.
Well, I certainly hope what you just said comes true. Dan, thanks so much for being with us. Always love talking with you. And I'm looking also forward to September 6th from 3 p.m. until 5 p.m. for the Ed and Dan. Oh, you know, it's the preseason take. Always good to hear you two together. That's, you know, that's part of the football season as far as I'm concerned. So I'll be tuning in for that.
Yes, sir. That's the official kickoff, the Hamp and OB show, a week from Sunday, 3 to 5. We got lots to talk about. I talked to OB today. He's chomping at the bit. And this Saturday, let's all come out and support the Make-A-Wish. It's going to be in Hickory Hills at the Prime, and we're going to have a lot of fun. The bands are going to play, and it's going to be a beautiful Saturday. And then after that, guess what? We go to work. The football season is upon us. Thank you so much, Records. You're the man.
No, I believe you are, Dan, but thank you for saying so. And I'll talk to you. Have a great season, so to speak. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
You betcha.